Good morning and welcome to WSAU Feedback. I'm Meg Ellison. Thanks for joining me this morning. Oh boy, it's Monday. That's all I can say. But you know what? It's a good thing it's Monday because our friend Kevin Hermaning is back joining the program, kicking it with Kevin. Good morning, Kevin. How are you?
Good morning, Meg. And it is Monday, which is awesome. It's not a drag. We are all rejuvenated after a weekend, although many of your listeners worked all weekend also, of course. Particularly those in the rural parts out on the farm.
Yeah.
There's no day off for them, you know.
Right.
They're in a different type of the economy than the rest of us.
Right. Yeah, no rest for the weary. I mean, we can all say we're weary. Anybody that follows politics is weary beyond measure. But those that are working, well, essentially a farmer, as I know what you're talking about.
Right.
They work 24/7 and it's
right.
Constantly on their minds. In fact, I would just say anybody with their own business, you included, and a great segue to at least our opening topic, which I think might probably carry us through this segment. But, you know, and I've long wondered what your response would be to this. We've had conversations in the past about this, but with our economy being the way that it is and inflation being at record highs, how is that, well, and I mean, this is a kind of a duh question, but how is that affecting our retirement accounts long term, and what can we do to brace ourselves?
Well, in part, it's your decision or your description of what long-term really means. Long-term, I think people are going to be just fine. Their portfolios will rebound. This is literally a smaller decline in the market than what we saw in a five-week period in February and March of 2020 and from October till Christmas Eve of 2018. In both cases, the market when I say the market, I'm really referring to the S&P 500, which is close to how the Dow Jones Industrial Average performs, but both of which went down about 33% in those two periods of time. And we are only about two-thirds of that level right now, so as far as to the downside. But this one's been a little bit more extended, a little longer, and so people are more nervous. But over the long term, I think people are going to be just fine because companies only stay in business if they're making money, if they're operating at a profit, and sometimes the profits are higher than at other times, and different types of businesses are affected by rising interest rates compared to other businesses, which have other ways of going out and seeking financing. Small businesses, in fact, are most affected by rising interest rates, as are consumers, because the costs to borrow are higher at this point than they've been in a while. We're now seeing the highest interest rates on 30-year mortgages, quite literally, since the spring of 2009. And so the Federal Reserve is trying to do something that they have rarely been able to do, and that is maneuver what's called a soft landing, Meg. A soft landing means we're not going to be thrown into this wild, very deep recession. And so this mess of inflation that we have seen is a making by government. COVID policy, the stupid COVID policies of shutting down our nation, telling the airlines that they have to put out all these new rules, telling tourist industries that they need to close their borders and not allow people to travel freely the way we once have. And all of the money that the government threw at COVID and continues to throw at the American people in these wasteful spending programs. Of course, people who get the $1,200, the $1,400 checks, people who are on relief, those dollars were all welcomed, despite a lot of us thinking the money has been wasted. And some of us took that money and gave it to charity, and some of us took that money and put it into our employees' paychecks. And some of us took that money and put it toward our future savings. And it's come in handy now that the markets are down.
Well, if you're just tuning in, you're probably asking yourself, wait, who is that I hear Meg talking with? Yes, it's Kevin Hermaning, our Kicking It With Kevin. So, Kevin, I have a next question for you. This, again, another question I've been dying to ask you. What happened to our workforce? Where have all the workers gone?
Well, it's called the Great Resignation, Meg. People are frustrated with what government has done to business and to workers and to society. People are frustrated, wondering when they might not be able to do the things they planned to do in retirement because the government might forbid us from doing it. In fact, you know, Meg, in California, some of the communities are still not fully open to people freely going about and living their lives. You know, it seems a lot like China, where every day about 200,000 people are still under lockdown in various cities across China. It's very reminiscent of some of the cities in the state of California. And I think that if some even local government leaders had their way, they would say, oh, you know, we've seen the rise of COVID, or they would make stuff up just to get their way and to continue to scare people and make them try to make them live in fear. Most of us in central Wisconsin are saying, the heck with it, we're not going to follow along. We've seen through the charade, because that's what it's been. You were talking about all the workers. Well, we know one person who thinks she has a job. That's Press Secretary Corrine. But, of course, everything that comes out of her mouth, even when she reads it from a binder, she has no idea what she's saying, because they're making it up about the economy, about interest rates, about the job increases. They're literally just making it up. And yes, a lot of people in America have jobs, but some people have two and three jobs just to make ends meet. We're starting to see now corporate resignations. We're seeing companies go under, whether we're talking about businesses in Merrill, Wisconsin, or Park Falls, Wisconsin, or Medford, Wisconsin, or even down in Nakusa and Port Edwards and Wisconsin Rapids, right here into the central part of central Wisconsin in the Wausau community. We're seeing businesses finally starting to say, you know, if we have a slowing economy, we need to reduce or not, we need to reduce our workforce. And I know there are still a lot of jobs wanted, job opening signs, but unfortunately, a lot of people have said, I'm done.
Yeah, well, and that's what I'm afraid of. So, you know, you kicked off this segment, and I mean, honestly, whenever I talk with you about the condition of the market, excuse me, you always do exude optimism, and I think that might be you. Well, it's part you, but then it's also part you looking at, I guess, historically how the markets have fluctuated. But I mean, that gives me hope for my own investments as well as the state of our country. But what sort of optimism do you have with regard to this upcoming midterm election?
Well, I think one of the reasons that the market has been volatile is that so many of the polls seem to be all over the place. Mm-hmm. I do think that typically polling undercounts Republican and conservative voter numbers, which I believe bodes well for the midterms for Republicans and conservatives on Election Day. Meg, I was asking my wife last night, so on Election Night, are we going to sit up and watch the returns come in? She said, well, we might as well go to bed and just wake up at 2 o'clock or 3 o'clock in the morning and see what the government has decided should be the elected officials. Isn't that a horrible way? I mean, we all think that way now, don't we? We've been conditioned to believe that, well, actually, we don't believe. We have seen it with our own eyes.
Well, to brace ourselves for what...
Right, exactly. Mm-hmm. I mean, we go to bed at 11, 12 o'clock at night, and on the night of the election, and certainly our candidates on our side are way up by 3, 4, 5 percentage points. And then those numbers gradually start getting whittled away. And then miraculously, the left figures out and the media figures out and central count in the big cities of our state figure out and nation, how many votes does their side need? And then they manufacture them. They make photocopies of the votes and they keep sending them through the machines until they get the numbers that they want. So I personally believe that that's what happened. I personally believe that the elections have been stolen. You know, this president is the least competent president that we've had, certainly in my lifetime. I may not have liked President Obama's policies. I may not have liked President Clinton's policies, but they certainly knew what they were doing. This president doesn't even know where he is, much less what he's doing. And so you have to wonder who is actually running the show in Washington, D.C., because it's not Joe. Meg, I think when it comes to what's happening with the economy and the stock market at this point in time, the market is of the belief that we're going to have a turn in the House and the Senate, and that means we're going to have divided government. The market likes divided government. The market likes the fact that there isn't going to be some wild swing of a series of policy maneuvers manufactured by liberals who want the government to run things and not the private sector. And so only when the polls are uncertain do we see this wild volatility. And last week, Jerome Powell, the Federal Reserve chief, he missed the boat. Most people believe that we should have had a full 1% raise in the interest rate to kill inflation. Because if we don't kill inflation, we will go into a deep recession. And nobody wants that on our side for sure.
Gee, killing inflation? I thought that's what the Inflation Reduction Act was supposed to do. Ha ha.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. Well, we know that that was just another big government spending program. And we know that there was no real debate on it in the House and the Senate. It didn't get any amendments accepted by the Republicans. And we've seen one-party rule now in Washington, D.C., and what that looks like. And I really do believe that the American people are going to say we don't like what we've seen for the last 2 years.
You know, you mentioned Obama. And, you know, God forbid we should ever yearn for the days of Obama, because I don't. However, I mean, I can remember when our national debt was probably around the $13 trillion mark, if that's accurate.
That's about right. Yep, that's about right.
I mean, we're nearing $30 trillion at this point. I mean, that's horrifying to think that in that short amount of time, and I'm sure that you're the numbers guy, you probably know precisely what the national debt was when power was taken from Trump and Joe Biden was installed in the White House. I mean, I'm sure how many trillions of dollars have we gone into debt in the last 2 years?
Well, yeah, we've added about $11 trillion more dollars. It's horrible. Actually, you know, as of September 30th, I've got it right here. As of September 30th of 2020, so this would have been right before the presidential election of 2020. It was $26.9 trillion. We're up another $4 trillion in just the last 2 years. So it's not even 2 years, and we're over. It'll be at $31 trillion. I'm looking at the U.S. National Debt Clock, if anybody's ever seen it. It's usdebtclock.org with a underline between the S and U.S. debt. clock.org. It's shocking the numbers that you can see on there. We literally are paying trillions of dollars a year just in debt. So horrible.
Yeah, it's certainly not good news, because I mean this is money that we don't have, and that's what I guess is most frustrating about this whole Inflation Reduction Act is there's no intention to reduce inflation with what the Democrats have done. And as you said, it's just another money grab. And
by the way, Meg, there are $171 trillion of unfunded liabilities. So it's not just the national debt, and it's not just the annual deficit. It's the unfunded liabilities that is the real problem for America. Also, we have 39 million Americans receiving food stamps. The Democrats look at that and say, thank goodness America is taking care of our most needy people. Republicans and conservatives and libertarians and people who believe in the U.S. Constitution, and in particular in capitalism and the free way of life, we would see that it as a victory if those numbers started coming down. Not because people were denied food stamps if they need them, but rather because they were able to begin living independently on their own. Right. Because they had a job that could pay their bills. And, you know, we've made more and more and more and more people dependent on government. And we could get into a whole conversation about the student loan payoff and all of that.
Oh, yes.
There's just so much irresponsible government spending and regulation that's happening right now. It's causing all of this uncertainty in the economy. And that's a big part of where we are sitting right now as well.
Well, we'll resume that topic next week then when you rejoin, if you're able to. Next week we'll continue the Kicking It with Kevin Sears. Kevin, thanks for your time today. I'm looking at the clock. I know you got to go. Don't want to make you fashionably late like I always am, but look forward to our chat again, and thanks for joining me this morning. Have a great day.
Got some good topics for next week already, Meg.
Excellent. Well, thanks again, Kevin. Take care. We'll talk to you soon.
You too. Bye-bye.
Got to go to a break, and we'll be right back with I'll go right into the 8:30 news and then the second half of feedback and your calls on WSAU. Thanks for joining me on WSAU Feedback. I'm Meg Ellison. How are you today, this Monday? Kind of glum outside. You know, I always comment on the weather, but the weather really kind of sometimes determines my mood. I don't know how you feel about that, but I guess we can't control the weather, so maybe I should just move on. Perhaps I will. I'm going to move on to the 8:30 news, followed by your calls on the other side on WSAU Feedback 715-845-2155.